looking for a podcast about sports and current events that's worth a damn? Well, you're in the right place. This is On The Clock Radio. Funny as hell, and they love to argue. Let's do the damn thing. You're listening to On The Clock Radio with Raul Lezcano.
Raul Lezcano.
Reggie Edwards.
Reggie Edwards.
And Tyrone Benson.
And Tyrone Benson.
Take a little break, but we back at it now, man. It is April 10th. Easter was just yesterday, man, so it was a blessing. It was around family, Easter egg hunts. It was great. But listen, we got a lot of, let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to what it's really about. We got to talk about the NFL. We got Odell Beckham signing with the Ravens. Can that keep Lamar there? We got the NBA. We got scuffles with the Timberwolves. You know what I'm saying? We got Golden State dropping 55 points in the first quarter, man. We got a lot to talk about, man. Our boy Reggie is getting the bag right now, but it's my guy Tyrone Benson joining me, and you're on the clock, man. Don't go nowhere. Lord, give me a sign. Trapped in your own mind, waiting on the Lord. A hunting with the word that cuts like a sword. The spoken word is stronger than the strongest man. Carries the whole world like the strongest hand. Through the trials and tribulations, you never let us down, Jesus. I know you're here with us now, Jesus. I know you're still with us now. Keep it real with us now. I want you know about that, bro. Oh, my guy. What's up, Tyrone? What's good, man?
I'm chilling, man. Chilling.
Ain't nothing like a little DMX and Jesus right after Easter.
Yeah, oh, Jesus. Man, I don't celebrate Easter.
No?
Because they be lying to these kids. Like, find the Easter eggs and stuff. Buddies don't lay eggs, buddy.
Hey, man. Come on, man. We can't be telling what really happens with bunny rabbits. The kids love it. They get little jelly beans and shit in there. You put a little golden egg, put some money in it. You don't like doing that shit?
I don't know. I don't put no money in it. I need all my monies.
Yeah?
You get some fruit snacks. That's about it. You better hope you find it for the ants, dude.
So you just chilled yesterday, huh?
Yeah. I took my older kid, my son was here.
Yeah.
But two of the girls with their mom, and they went to their grandma's house, and I don't know what they did over there. And there's right. Me and the boys, and my son, he went to work out in the morning, and then we went to Nicole's grandparents' house, and they were the Easter egg hunts. They don't believe in putting candy in no Easter eggs. They always put money in there. So
see?
My 3-year-old son probably skated off with, like, he was the only one doing Easter egg hunts. He got like $30.
So he made out. So, he made out like a bandit.
Yeah, so it's going to go on my gas tank. So
he has no concept of money. He'll be okay.
That's yeah, funny. He's good. I mean, I had to drive my car to get there, so I'm going to get gas.
Yeah, yeah, so it's just right. It's just right.
Yeah, so, like, he don't care. I mean, like, we had just got back, and then our neighbor, they were doing one for their granddaughter.
Mm. So you had a good day, man. It was an all right day, then.
Yeah.
That's good. Ain't no wrong with that, man. Nothing wrong with that. I did number laundry all weekend, man. That's what I did. And also, it was good for us to take a little break from, you know, from sports a little bit. I mean, everything was, I know we missed some nice things that happened, you know, with the Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and I know we missed that, but, you know, I didn't want to get on here and vent a little bit, because that was, you know, during those 2 weeks, that was the same time that the Nashville had that mass shooting at the school, and I didn't want to put all that stuff in there, man, you know, put my ideas and thoughts about all that bullshit. So, but it was good to take a little break, man. And in doing so, over the weekend, we hear Odell Beckham signs a 1-year deal, $18 million to play for the Ravens, man. And now everybody's going to start wondering this Monday and the rest of the week, is that enough to keep Lamar Jackson there?
Yeah, I think it will, only because I don't think Odell would have signed the Ravens if Lamar wasn't there.
Yeah,
so
but I mean,
they had to be talking.
Well, that I can understand that, but I think his window was coming down too. I think he was closing, but I do agree with you. Odell Beckham doesn't sign unless he knows for sure that Lamar was going to be there. You know what I'm saying? Yes. I think the Ravens paid him too much for 1 year.
Well, I think they kind of had to because I mean they want to keep Lamar, so I think they had to pay Odell for that.
Yeah, but Odell, you think that's the weapon he needs is Odell Beckham?
It'll free up the other receivers, I think. I mean they have a decent. I'm not gonna say nah, they ain't got nothing. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know, but I mean I think. That's the reason why Odell signed a 1 year deal, though. Because I say, I bet you Lamar signed his franchise tag.
Hey, Tyrone.
Yeah.
Give me 15 minutes. So I get what you're saying, man, about OBJ. I don't know if it's going to be enough to keep Lamar. If it does, then he's good. But like you said, if he's already signed, then they've already talked about the contract that Lamar is going to get. So what else weapons do they need in Baltimore to be successful, though? What else do you think they need? A run game would be nice.
They got J.K. Dobbs, but he got to stay healthy. They got Gus, whatever his last name is, but he got to stay healthy. Like, the problem with them, they don't stay healthy.
Yeah, and that's a big time with the Ravens.
I mean, run game would definitely help.
At some point, they got to look into the strength and conditioning of the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, J.K. Dobbs, he'll kill it for the first 3-4 weeks of the season, and he's out of gas the rest of the season.
Yeah, then he's done.
So, I mean, it's just like.
We'll see. I don't know what kind of season OBJ is going to think he's going to have over there at Baltimore. You know what I mean? Like, what is he expecting to, you know, break records? Or, you know, is he coming in there thinking that. Because, like, right now, OBJ coming in is almost equivalent to, like, when Steve Smith joined the Ravens. You know what I mean? Just contributed, helped out a little bit, but wasn't the main guy. You know what I mean?
But he had Lamar throwing to him either, though, did he?
Well.
But Steve Smith?
Yeah, I think it was Steve Smith. Well, Steve McNair.
Steve McNair passed by anyway. So I think OBJ and he'll grab by 80.
We'll see, man. The other guy that's going to have a terrible. I wonder how this is going to work out. They've resubmitted the aggressive or the assault charge against Joe Mixon with the Bengals. Apparently, and I don't know if you knew this was going on, but last year, January, right before he went to go play the Bills, the Cincinnati police reported that on Friday, they resubmitted a misdemeanor aggravated menacing charge against Cincinnati Bengals running back Joe Mixon. Was stemming from an alleged incident in January. This is Ben Baby. This is actually his name. Ben Baby, the writer, ESPN staff writer. He writes that Mixon allegedly pointed a gun at the woman on January 21st, the day the Bengals traveled to face the Buffalo Bills. The initial charge was dismissed less than 24 hours after it was filed, with authorities stating during the court proceeding that they reserve the right to refile the case upon gathering new information. So it's basically like them saying, yo, you play for Cincinnati, we're going to let you go play for the Bills, hopefully you try to help us win a Super Bowl, and since you guys didn't, we're going to resubmit the charges. That's what it sounds like to me.
They didn't have shit to begin with, so.
Yeah, but if you dismiss, to reemerge this fucking, like, what else do you need? You know what I'm saying? Like, if initially the charge is dismissed, you know, you didn't have enough evidence at the time for, like, what? For, you didn't have video evidence? You weren't able to question the people? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to file a charge, how is he able to go, you know what I'm saying? Like, go do what he's got to go do. It just sounds like they worked the deal where, look, we're gonna re-adjourn this. We're going to reopen this after the Super Bowl season. Let's take a look, or the playoffs, or after the NFL season. Let's take a look at what's going on, and then we'll reopen this. You know what I mean?
Now, see, I hope everything works out for the best, because I like Joe Mixon. I thought he was a... you know, good dude and everything. So,
yeah.
But I mean, everybody got to show their thug side, I guess.
I guess so, man. I mean, he's only 26 years old. This is what goes crazy. On March 6th, a teenager playing a game with toy guns was shot by an individual standing in the background of Mixon's home in Anderson Township. According to police, Lamont Brewer, the boyfriend of Mixon's sister, Shalonda, was indicted on one count of felony charge assault. In a surveillance video, Mixon, who is a legal gun owner, was seen carrying a gun but did not fire any shots. This 26-year-old running back had not had not had any previous criminal cases in Hamilton County before the alleged menacing innocent incident. I apologize. While Mixon was a freshman in Oklahoma 2014, he was suspended for one season and entered a plea agreement involving a misdemeanor assault case for punching a woman after the alleged use of a racial slur. If she used a racial slur, she deserved the punch.
I think I remember that
too. Yeah, I remember that too. But it goes on here to break down everything. I mean, Mixon in 2017, second round pick from Oklahoma, 6-year career. Like, it breaks down like anything that he was already going through. But I don't know, more cases. I hope Joe Mixon figures it out, man. I really do. I hope they, you know, if he did do it, then it is what it is.
I don't know, man. It just seems like Joe Mixon been in the league for like 2 decades now.
It really does. I thought Joe Mixon was in there a long time, and he's only 26.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You said 26. Like, God, I feel like he's been in that damn shit since like 2012. Like, good God.
I know. It was crazy, man. But anyhow, man, we'll see how Mixon is with the Bengals and see what they got going on. I pray for freaking Baltimore. There really hasn't been a huge amount of other NFL news that's been going on. I mean, the draft is coming up, what, next week or something? It's right around the corner. I was going to pick your brain a little bit because your guy is up on, or has been the, at least last week, was pushed around as far as being the number one over C.J. Stroud, and I thought that was pretty amazing to hear that Bryce Young would be the number one pick instead of CJ, which I don't know, man. Which one do you think is the legit better quarterback ready for the NFL? Not had a better college career or anything like that, but better suited for the NFL. Which one would you pick if you were in the box, if you're on the clock, and you're sitting there in the draft war room? Who would you pick as your number one quarterback? You're the Carolina Panthers.
To be honest, I think either one's a surefire, but it's a good pick because, I mean, based on their college careers and stuff, yeah. But both of them are smart. They take care of the ball. That's what you want as a quarterback. And I think they're both NFL ready.
I think
David Coughlin.
Yeah. I think C.J. C.J. Stroud can take the durability of an NFL season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I was watching this thing on, I guess it was like Facebook Shorts or YouTube Shorts, one of the things. But I guess you really didn't notice like how many mistakes C.J. Stroud had while he was in college, like fumbling and bad reads and stuff like that. But I guess like got overshadowed by all his good plays.
Yeah,
but I would take either or. Yeah, Bryce Young's 5'9", a buck 90, or how much he weighed in that, and then C.J. Stroud 6'3", like 220. So yeah, I think he will be able to take the blunt of the like some hits and stuff. But at the same time, I mean, Bryce Young played in the freaking SEC.
Yeah,
whose defensive linemen suffered just as big as NFL guys. So
yeah, you're right. You're right about that. I'm just going to be interesting to see who breaks it out, who would suit better. I mean, I would assume it'd come down to, like, your offensive coordinator, offensive staff, and, like, what you're trying to accomplish offensively of who suits it better. Because, you know, a lot of times, man, you know this, bro, you try to make a player into your offense, and sometimes that doesn't, you know, go very well. It's more like sticking a, you know, putting a square peg into a round hole. You're forcing something to happen, and it's not there, and that's why teams get frustrated. You know what I mean? Like for instance, Baker Mayfield at Cleveland, I thought Baker was a gunslinger. He's slinging the ball, but then as you see the offense, he's not really understanding these windows and what's trying to happen offensively. You know what I mean? So that's where you see the struggles come from a young quarterback.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I see C.J. Stroud fitting in with the Panthers just because they're used to having big mobile quarterbacks, Cam Newton, and, you know, so I think C.J. Stroud's going to go number one, Bryce Young's going to go number two. I think the Texans would be a better fit for Bryce Young anyway.
True.
When it's down south. It's no cold weather down there.
And it's a dome team, too, ain't it? They play in the dome, don't they?
They play in a dome, and... And the funny thing is, the Texans and the Panthers have been really active in free agency and stuff. So
they really have.
They're trying to put pieces there, so they know. They're both picking quarterbacks, so they're trying to put the pieces there to, you know, make them better. So, well,
that leaves the other guy, our other guy, Anthony Richardson, Florida Gator quarterback, who entered the draft. All I've heard is that he's going, what, number five to, for the Colts? He's supposed to be going to be an Indianapolis Colt. I mean, does that fit him? Would you see him on another team or like to see him somewhere else?
I just don't see Anthony. I don't see Richardson as a top 10 quarterback. Like, for the last 2 years, everybody did was bash this guy for 2 years in college. He can't do this. He can't do this. Then he goes out here and, okay, it's easy to I can throw 7-on-7 and be perfect.
Yeah,
he has a cannon for an arm, but ain't nobody rushing him. There's no defensive schemes. There's no line shifts. There's nothing in front of him but just him and a receiver. Right. See, I can drop dimes all day too. So, I mean, I don't see him as a top five. They talk about him going five to the Colts, and I just don't. I don't see it yet.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, man? We talked about the draft. We could talk about Lamar Jackson, but I mean, to see, I don't know where I would like to see Anthony Richardson. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I don't know, man. It's like you said, I didn't see him being a top 10 quarterback. I think he's very athletic. I think he's very strong.
Yes.
I think those are great attributes, but I think he needs to be around a team that has a great running game, and they simplify the offense for him to where he can, you know, not make mistakes. He completes 15 to 20 passes a game, scores one or two touchdowns, and maybe rush for 50 to 70 yards a game in his first year. I think he'll have a successful first year. I'm not saying they're going to win it all wherever team he goes to, but it'll be successful that way. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to think in my head who has an older quarterback that, you know, he can get drafted by and sit behind and learn.
That's a great freaking question, man.
All right. Well, other than Aaron Rodgers, nobody knows what the hell he's doing. So,
yeah.
But I don't know no teams that have older quarterbacks that are like over the last two or three years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see Richardson sitting for, because the Colts need a quarterback now.
Right.
Anthony Richardson is not that quarterback right now.
Right.
So,
right.
I just don't see it.
I don't either, man. So, and like you said, there's really no team. When you think about it, like, there's no team that you could sit there and be like, you know what, he can learn from this guy. I mean, other than maybe, you know, possibly going to, I don't know, maybe the Jets would have to, you know, to follow Aaron Rodgers, maybe if Aaron even goes there. I mean, honestly, bro, the years of where you sit behind another quarterback to learn and understand the program, that's pretty much gone. You know, when Joe Montana has Steve Young sitting behind him, you know, Steve wanted to play, and he was a good quarterback, but those years are gone where you have to sit behind somebody. You know what I mean? Brady sat behind Bledsoe, mm-hmm. freaking Rodgers sat behind Favre, you know, it's just gone. They don't really develop there that way no more. There's not a development there. It's just, hey, can he come in here? Can he win football games? Oh, we're 1-for-3 in the start of the season? Fine, bench the starter, put the kid in, and let's see what we can get. Maybe we can get some juice. Because that's the other part. They're so quick to put these kids in there that they're like, fuck, you're basing their whole career off of good or bad. Like, for instance, Mac Jones, right? Your guy Mac Jones over there at the Patriots, some people consider him a bad quarterback. Now, I think he's a crybaby. I think he's a whiner. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes back to QBR ratings and it comes back to completion percentages and stuff like that, this guy's doing it with nothing over there. He's doing nothing.
With nothing.
Nothing. I mean, they literally put the defensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, who left 1 year to go to the Detroit Lions. He comes back, and he's the fucking offensive coordinator for the Patriots. And he does a shit show of a job trying to do an offensive coordinating for the New England Patriots. And that kid still had just as good a QBR rating in the top, I'm going to say top 15, top 10, or whatever it was, for quarterbacks last year. And he had nothing. It was a shit show in New England, in my opinion, for offense.
Yeah, I mean, he's had two offensive coordinators,
yeah,
three quarterback coaches,
one of his offensive coordinators, it was, you know what I'm talking about, right? Is the defensive coordinator that was for the Patriots for a long time.
Was it Mike Glock, God, I can't think of, the black dude, right?
No.
No.
You're talking, oh my God, what was this dude? Now it's going to kill me, man. Let me go look at this up, because it was the, oh my gosh, I can't think of his damn name now. Yeah, it's going to kill me. Now, you'll see. Let me type this up here real quick. Patriots. Because if I don't get it out of my brain, it's going to be there all damn.
I bet you his name's on the tip of my tongue. I have one guy on my head, but I can't think of him.
Well, Bill O'Brien is going to be the guy now. Like, Bill O'Brien, he's going to be the guy. But where was it at? Oh, my God.
Yeah, but Bill O'Brien wasn't at Bama when Matt Jones was there, though.
No, he wasn't. That's what I'm saying. He just got hired now. I'm talking about the guy last year. Oh, my God. Where is his name? Come on, Google. You're killing me. Pat's offensive coordinator. Matt Patricia. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I could not think of it for the likes of me. And probably the listeners are screaming in their cars, Matt Patricia, asshole. Matt Patricia. It's Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia was the defensive coordinator who had Brian Flores under him, who was helping him call defenses as well at the time. So, but Matt Patricia left. He went to the Detroit Lions, spent 2 years there, did a horrible fucking job. Dan Campbell came and replaced him. But in that time, they brought him back to New England, helped with defense. And then last year, he got the OC job, which, again, I don't know what Bill Belichick is fucking thinking. You know what I mean? Why are we giving this guy the job? But whatever the case may be, he got the job, and now Bill O'Brien will be doing it. But going back to what we're saying, Mac Jones is one of those guys that needed a system to help him. You know what I mean? Anthony Richardson fits into that world or that scheme. If I'm Bill O'Brien, if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm possibly looking into taking Anthony Richardson because I can sit him down and behind Mac Jones and okay, this is the guy of the future. Because at some point I think New England's going to release Mac Jones based off of blaming him. Somebody has to take the blame for last year's offense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, they're already talking about it now. I mean, yeah. Like, trying to get rid of him now. And it's like, what's he doing wrong? Like, give him some pieces. And,
right.
Man, at least Brady had a Wes Welker in the side or Danny Amendola in the slot.
Yeah.
Just somebody you get the ball to, somebody trustworthy, you know, you can trust. But, I mean, hell, I can't name one damn receiver on the Patriots.
I can't.
Other than Parker.
I can't either, bro, and that's what I'm saying. So when you get Anthony Richardson, not to say that he, you know, the Patriots are going to take him, but I'm just saying to sit behind Mac Jones and learn for a year or two, you know, not that Mac Jones is an old guru, but I don't see any team that has an old guru quarterback right now. Like, who do you, what, Cousins? Maybe at Minnesota, maybe sit behind him? You know, for whatever reason, Cousins always gets a free pass, and for whatever reason.
Jesus out.
You know what I mean? But
I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I just think he's an old school type quarterback. So
yeah, he has to have a run game. Without Dalvin Cook, I don't think Cousins can be successful. So, but I don't know.
I don't know because Dalvin Cook, he ain't really ever healthy. I think last year was the first time he actually was healthy most of the season.
Yeah.
So,
but
I mean, I think with Richardson, I don't know where he would go. I don't know what he would do, but I hope to God the Colts don't pick him up.
Bro, they're going to pick him up, bro.
I mean, they're just saying, Ursay is just saying, fuck it, we're in full rebuild mode now.
It has to be. It has to be. Something. I don't know. It's something like that. Something to that effect. You know what's funny, man? If I was Dan Snyder at the Washington Commanders, I was talking to a couple buddies of mine just earlier or yesterday, and we were on the phone. We were talking football. We were talking about Dallas and what they need. And one of my buddies was like, he came up with a great point, bro. You're going to laugh at this. He was like, you know what? If I was Dan Snyder, what I would do on my way out of Washington is I would trade the defense away and I would give Lamar Jackson a $280 million guaranteed contract and then I would sell the fucking team. And be like, that's what you got to deal with for the next 10 years. Here you go. Here you go, buddy. And walk away from it and just see what Washington. I mean, it's fucking hilarious because would you not want to be, if you're in Dan Snyder's shoes, shit, you're thinking about it. Like, how do I screw this team over? They all sold me up the river. Everybody's, you know, out to get me. They want me to sell this goddamn team anyway. So you know what? I'm going to sell the team and I'm gonna make some trades here. I'm going to make sure Washington doesn't go to a Super Bowl, but yet they're going to be in debt for the next 10 years paying Lamar Jackson's contract.
Shit, man! You want to screw the team, or screw the franchise? I'm going back to the Redskins, bitch.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Change the name back. Like, yeah,
we could be the Commanders, but my the Redskin logo. I'm sorry. Yeah,
exactly, and see how people freak out about it, man.
I mean, it's, I don't know, man. The draft's gonna be interesting just because a lot of cats like like we're from the South, so we're from Florida. So we focus mainly on them cats from like Tennessee down.
Yeah.
You know, like Kentucky down. Like we don't really know about the Pac-12 and all that because we don't watch them.
Right.
But I mean, it's a lot of dudes on there for the Pac-12 and you know they're making noise. Like I guess top 10, top first round picks. I'm like, oh man, I've heard of them, but I never watched them play.
Right.
But I mean, it just seems like you know the talent pool is with all this portal stuff, like cats that I've seen at Bama, and they're shining out there on the West Coast now. And
yeah,
it's like, wow, okay, I didn't think you said still play, bro.
Yeah, so I mean, and it's like you said, man, when with the quarterbacks, right? Like, not to harp on it, but like going to Richardson, like you said, development, like it's not being there. You know, I think even if the Jets get Aaron Rodgers and they trade for him and Aaron Rodgers is playing for the Jets, I still think the Jets need another quarterback because Rodgers only has, what, 3 years? You can't sign him for 5 to 7 years. You know what I mean? You're going to only get him for 3 years. You're still going to need another quarterback to put behind him. Why not grab Richardson, where the Jets are sitting? He's pretty cheap. You don't have to really give up too much for him, and you just let him learn behind Aaron Rodgers, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I mean, but I wouldn't even say Aaron Rodgers because you see what Jordan Love's going through. Aaron Rodgers ain't probably taught that man a damn thing.
No, but I wouldn't. That's a different situation because when they got him, they got Love, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Like, yeah, 3 or 4 years.
Years ago. So in my mind, I would never even got a quarterback, you know what I'm saying, to get Rodgers at that time. To me, because Rodgers still had 3 to 4, 5 great years. You didn't have to push the button that early to go get him. And then ultimately, what did it do to you? You ultimately lost Rodgers because he feels like, well, shit, you don't fucking need me anymore. You know what I'm saying? So, like, okay, that's gone now. You know what I'm saying? So if you waited till, like, now to grab a quarterback, Rodgers probably takes it a little bit better than then because Rodgers knows his clock. He knows he's only got 3 years left, 4 years max.
Oh, the day they drafted Jordan Love, he was done.
Right. The moment it was announced.
He was going to make the Packers pay him to stay.
Right. Exactly, bro. Exactly.
If they never drafted Jordan Love, we would never be hearing about Aaron Rodgers.
He was never going to leave. He'll never leave.
Shit. Yeah.
Right, bro. They should have waited it out. But they did it prematurely. They thought they could replicate what happened to Favre to Rodgers. And what did Rodgers do the next 2 seasons? He wins the fucking MVP. You know what I'm saying? To show you, look, I still got it. And I still think that they part ways. But anyway.
And the funny part is he called that too.
Yeah.
I think I ain't got nothing left. Watch me go ahead and win this MVP.
Let me do it twice. You know what I'm saying?
Like, wow, okay. So you betting on yourself right there. So
he really was, man. So with football, it's gonna be exciting, it's gonna be different. You know, I'm excited for it. You know, it's going to be an interesting season with all the moving pieces that's happened. And when this draft comes along, and which, again, we'll still talk about it the rest of this week into next week, because as it gets closer, you know, as well as I know, more sources come out, more things are happening. People are waiting to hold information, to make moves so nobody counters their moves, so they make sure they get the guy that they want for their team. So it's gonna be interesting in the next week or so. Transitioning. Well, go ahead.
Well, one more thing. Hey, I know we were bashing XFL like the first week or two, but it was some good games on the day. Just saying, they're playing some good ball now.
Well, so we said in the beginning of another podcast, yeah, it was horrible at first, but shit, these guys only had 6 weeks. You don't find your groove in 6 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're playing some good ball. It was a good game on. Just a couple good games last 2 weeks. So I'm invested. Like I was talking to my son, I'm like, hey man, you better hope these leagues are still around. Like, well, yeah, the NFL, you have the XFL, you have the USFL. Like, one of them two are going to fold.
Yeah, man.
But as long as you have that extra, like, another outlet, you'll be fine. I told him, shoot, man, XFL, you make 60 grand just for the season. You only play 10 games.
Well, here's the funny part about that, bro. A lot of sports have that minor league to help develop guys that are they're right on the cuff and they should come up. You know what I mean? So, like, for baseball, they have AAA. They got the minor leagues, and some guys go down and they have to earn their way back to the show. There's some guys still trying to get to the show. I mean, you hear about the cases all the time. I know you're not huge in baseball, but the next guy for the Yankees now, they're treating him like he's the next, you know, Derek Jeter, because the Yankees want to get rid of the legacy that Jeter had after he went to the Marlins. So the kid came up from the minor leagues and he's playing for the Yankees shortstop now. So everybody's really rooting for the guy and he's doing great. But football should have the same deal. I mean, NBA has the G League, you know what I'm saying, to pull from, where European right. people can go play for a little while and then they're scouting and they get to see their skill sets against some other competition. So you still have the G League, Summer League, and all those things. Football should have the USFL and they should have the XFL to help outlet some of these guys that maybe weren't filtered right, weren't looked correctly. Because let's be honest, Tyrone, you and I both know these scouts can tell these kids all the time, like, if I know, I know. And I know your son is that great. Your son is this good. But they don't have a magic ball. They don't fucking know. You know what I'm saying? So some guys get missed. Some guys fall through the cracks. So it's actually good to have these other leagues to sit there and be like, okay, we can put a plug
today, like today I was watching Seattle play the Sea Dragons, whatever they called. And they picked up Philip Lindsay. He used to be the Broncos running back. Pro bowler and whatnot, and he was running pretty hard. His little 8 carries he had, but
right,
you know. But I mean, he just picked him up yesterday, so
right.
Like the day before the game, so it was like, all right. So, but yeah, I mean, they're starting to get name people in there now. Because I mean, I'm sure if me and you made it to NFL and we ain't playing no more, and like, oh man, XFL, that's a smackdown. Like that's a fucking like low blow. Like I'm too good for that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you love the game, you love the game. And that's why it sucked in the beginning. Like you said, they only had 6 weeks to prepare.
Yep.
But now they've been together for a while, and, you know, it started to look a little bit better now. Even though I did see the center and nose guard, they were just laying on top of each other, not even trying to rush the passer. He wasn't trying to rush.
They made a deal right there at the line of scrimmage. Like, bro, I'm going to push,
but
don't.
Yeah, Yeah, nose guard in a 4-point stance, and he just submarined himself, and the guy laid on top of him. That's like, that's something Big Don would do.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, again, it's that's good that it's coming along, man, and I think that the more popularity it brings or comes around, I think the sooner they can start. You know what I mean?
I hope it makes it throughout this. I mean, it's gonna make it throughout the last 2 seasons, but. I hope that, you know, The Rock has a. I think he dialed it in pretty good. When he knew it, that's why he waited 2 years to pull it out, because he wanted to make sure every T was crossed and every dot line, every I was dotted. Because, I mean, it's sponsorships there. Everything is there to make the money. Now, just going to add more teams. And so we'll see. Hopefully, it does catch on.
I do. I hope it does, man. The transition to that, man, is, you know, I've been watching a lot of basketball because when you don't have football, you know, you kind of watch the next sports. I've been watching a lot of baseball as well. But I was watching the NBA, and there's a couple things I want to talk about the NBA. Like, there's a lot of teams that I thought for sure were going to make the playoffs that, you know, that I thought maybe had high hopes. I didn't really think they're going to win a championship or anything. Like, one is the Dallas Mavericks, right? So we all know the Dallas Mavericks, they got eliminated. They're no longer there, the contention. But I never thought that this Luka and Kyrie thing was going to work. I never thought it was going to be something magical. Two same type of players almost. But again, you know, Dallas as a team, as a whole, they don't really play defense. You know what I'm saying? They don't really defend. They don't really get in transition very well. So to see Dallas not make it, I'm not really surprised. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not really, I don't know. To see the play-in in the West, though, so I'm talking about the West, the number 10 team, the play-in team to see who can play in, is Oklahoma Thunder, New Orleans, the Pelicans, Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Lakers. And real quick, I'll comment on the Timberwolves. Did you see that shit with Gobert and the team on the bench the other day?
I didn't see that. I heard about it.
Oh, my God. You know, more's going to come out today. More's going to come out, you know, during the week. More's going to, you know, as they unfold and peel back what happened on the bench, what was said, what was done. But basically, you see two guys in the NBA that are, or two guys that are, that's their team. Like, this is the whole team for these guys, right? So Rudy Gobert swings at Kyle Anderson, you know what I'm saying? And Jaden McDaniels fractures his hand on the way out. So just so you say, it's reported by Andrew Lopez and Adrian Wojnarowski of the ESPN, the Minnesota Timberwolves spiraled into a state of chaos on Sunday as they lost the breakout forward Jaden McDaniels for the season with a fractured right hand after he punched a wall in frustration and faced the possibility that center Rudy Gobert could be leveled with a team suspension for Tuesday's Western Conference playing game at the Lakers for striking teammate Kyle Anderson in a huddle. This was a big talk last week, and now Jalen McDaniels is out. Timberwolves are basically falling apart trying to get ready for the playoffs. You know what I mean? And again, they, you know how guys are, man. You know, I don't know how much of a team they really are when they're arguing and swinging and punching together. I'm surprised the Golden State was able to bounce back after, you know, Draymond punched Jordan Poole. You know what I'm saying? Basically knocked his ass out. But he's Rudy Gobert did this in the middle of the game.
That was at practice, though. That was at practice.
It was at practice. This is during a game, during a timeout. You know what I mean? It sparked a lot of shit going on. So the Timberwolves are in. They're gonna you know, play or whatever the case is, which is, you know, great. That's magical. But I don't know, man. People are trying to tell me the Lakers are still dangerous and all this stuff. The Lakers are sitting in a number six, or I'm sorry, number seven for the play-in, and I don't know who they got to play yet. I think the Lakers got to play the Timberwolves this week.
They got to play Timberwolves, yeah.
They got to play Timberwolves. I don't know, man. I don't know who's going to win. I haven't followed the West like that in a little bit, but I don't know, man. I don't know who's going to watch. I know LeBron James is going to be criticized this week, because if you didn't see that, and when he played the Jazz, he put a dagger three-pointer in there, and he puts the crown over his head. Now, LeBron's going to face, you know, criticism for that. I'm sure Skip Bayless is going to fry him for that. But it's fucking King LeBron James. Like, he should have been doing this shit a while. I mean, I've seen him do it in, was it 2019 he did it? Like,
well, I don't think he started it. Like, his teammates were the ones that were putting the crown on his head and stuff. So,
yeah, man, it's going to be what it is. The teams that I'm interested to see in the Western Conference, and this is what I'm trying to get to, is the six teams. The six teams that are in it. Like, I'm excited to see what the Denver Nuggets are going to do. I want to see what the Grizzlies are going to do. Sacramento Kings, depending on what type of Sacramento Kings show up, we'll see how that goes. The Suns, the Clippers are okay. The Golden State Warriors is who I really want to talk about, okay? I've been watching Golden State for many, many, many years now. I still think this is an amazing franchise dynasty that, you know, at one point will have to come to an end, you know, with Clay and Steph and stuff one day. But as we have them now, they need to be appreciated and loved and you know, and kind of like, you know, I don't know, upheld, I guess, put them on a mantle. Because if Steph Curry doesn't get hurt, you know, they don't lose 10 games. They're possibly sitting one or two in the West. You know what I'm saying? Right now,
their problem was they went like 36-2 at home, and then they went 2-36 on away. So that's why they limped their way in. Well, like they couldn't win away from Oracle. So.
Well, and it doesn't help that two of your best players were out during a brief time, separate times, but they were out too. That definitely doesn't help. But they're starting to feel the mojo. I mean, bro. The other, I've never seen a fucking team score 55 points in the first quarter. I've never seen this happen.
It's an NBA record.
It is, man. They ended up with the final score being 157. Like, they had 157 points. You know, God bless who was playing. That sound like the, you know, like an all-star game a little bit. You know what I mean?
The other team could have put their D-League kids in and just let them get an open run, you know, to the rest for the playoffs.
Yeah, but the Trailblazers, like, come on, man. Like, they had, I don't know, man. They had 27 points in the first quarter, 26 in the second, you know, 20 in the third and 28. Like, it just you read those scores and you're like, were they really fucking trying or were they just trying to coast the game? Now, you hear the scores for the Warriors. The Warriors had fucking 55 points in the first quarter, 29 in the second, so they must have put their second guys in and took a break. They jump out there and put another 34 points in the third and 39 in the fourth. So they still finish strong. And you're right, there's probably guys in there that they put and all that stuff, and that's great, you know, whatever the case may be. But I still think the Warriors are dangerous. The Warriors can score consistently. You have to play a catch-up game or pray that these guys have a, how can I say it, have an off night so you can keep up the score. You know what I mean? I don't know, man.
Because ain't nobody got LeBron.
No. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, man.
In the West, I mean, I don't know. I said it a couple podcasts ago that, you know, I wasn't rooting for the damn Warriors, but, I mean, they're just deadly anywhere. Like, all of them can shoot. Right. Like, even Draymond can shoot. He chooses not to shoot.
Right.
And so, like, but when he does shoot, he can light your ass up.
Yep.
So,
because Curry had 26 points, Thompson had 20. You got Jordan Poole to drop 21. You have M. Moody, who dropped freaking 25 points. You know what I'm saying? You got 15 from Kuminga. I mean, it's bro, I mean, there's a lot of people fucking contributing. And these guys weren't playing 30 and 40 minutes. They're playing 20 minutes. That's right. Two quarters, bro. Like, that's nothing.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that are going to be dangerous. The other one that I was going to talk to you about was the freaking in the East. The East is, I still think it's the Bucks world, man. Milwaukee Bucks. I love the Miami Heat. We're the number seven. We have a play in. We're going to try to play to get into the playoffs. But the team that's just been superb and dominant is the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think Boston Celtics has been good too. But the Milwaukee Bucks are like, I just think they're going to win the East again. I just think that there's no stopping that Greek freak. There's no, I don't think there's any rhyme or reason. Middleton still seems like he's getting better and better shooting. So I have no idea, you know, who or what's going to happen, but I just don't think the Milwaukee Bucks get beat out of the playoffs. I think they're in the, I think they make it to the finals, man.
I don't know. I'm not totally set on that one.
Really?
I don't know about the Bucks. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they got Giannis, but at the same time, I mean, I don't know.
I'm not saying they're superb team. Right. I'm not saying they're superb and they're sound everywhere. I just look at the rest of the teams that are on this. Like the Brooklyn Nets. They're not going to be. They're number six, but I don't think they're going to challenge. They can challenge the Milwaukee Bucks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think they can really do something. The Knicks? Nope. Knicks are number. This is the top six teams in the East, bro. Milwaukee's number one. Boston's number two. The 76ers are number three. Then it's the Cleveland Cavaliers at four. New York Knicks at five, and Brooklyn Nets, all right? And New York Knicks has a 47-35 record. Nets have a 45-37 record. The Heat have 44-38, and everybody else has 41. So I don't know, bro. I just don't see the East having challenges like the West. Like the West, you can legit say, like, okay, the freaking Nuggets are good, Grizzlies are good, Suns are good, Golden State's good. Like, those are legit really good teams. You're not really scared. If you had to play the Brooklyn Nets, you're not scared of the Nets. If you're a West team, you're going to scare the Knicks. And these guys are going to take care of each other. Milwaukee looks like the better team.
Man, shoot. I better hope Miami, if Miami gets the Bucks, I'll put Adonis in there.
Adonis.
Yeah. Put him in there. Put UD in there.
It was.
He'll shut down the Greek.
Yeah. Well, my boy Adonis, you know, reached a milestone just yesterday. Scoring 24 in his farewell, his last game home game as a Miami Heat, which Miami Heat went on top, winning against Orlando Magic 123-110. It was really cool to see you down there.
That's how bad my Magic team is. We can't even win when the Dallas Hassan's playing.
I don't think, to be honest with you, bro, I don't know who I don't know who they would have played, but I don't think anybody would have beat the Heat tonight or last night. Just simply because they do these farewell games to a lot of players, you know what I'm saying? So it's almost like a home, you know, like a homecoming game pretty much. So, of course, you guys are going to be on the docket. But it was cool to see Dwayne Wade wearing the jersey of Udonis Haslam. And shout out to Haslam, man. 20 years is not easy doing anything. I mean, 20 years as a carpenter, 20 years as an electrician. 20 years is a long time to devote yourself to one thing. And we're talking
one
about
team.
Yeah, and then with the highest level of the NBA to be with one team for 20 years. God bless him, man. He is Mr. 305. The only thing I wish they didn't do on my boy Udonis Haslam is show his goddamn haircut. Like, he's still got all the bald spots there, man. I just wish he filled them shits in. If LeBron can do it, you can do it.
Even his beard was all passed out, man. Like,
he looked like a granddad. And then when he was in the locker room, he took his shirt off and he's getting the game ball. I was like, God damn, that is some old ass skin right there. Like, this motherfucker, look, he looks older than him right now.
His six pack was sagging.
It was, bro. Like, it wasn't really a six, like, more like a 3.5 on one side. But 20
know,
years, man. God bless him.
I know. I'll listen to him on the other show. I'm not giving no more plugs no more. They don't plug us.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll listen to him on the other show. But like, geez, like he done turned down so much money just to stay with the Heat.
God bless him.
I was like, holy cow.
I mean,
he said after they won the first championship with LeBron, Dallas Mavericks offered him like $30 million.
Yeah,
he turned it down just so he stayed with the Heat. He felt like he owed him.
Well, you bro, he to me, you know, Udonis. I know he's 42 years old. He goes out as the And I don't know if you know this, but he becomes the first 42-year-old to score 24 points or more since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, that's pretty cool. And it's only 3 days past. I mean, like, it passed his birthday. So it was pretty cool to see Haslam do that. But Haslam has always been known. If you hear interviews that other players talk about him, you know, they did a send-off for him, which was beautiful. But before then, everybody has always said he's like the ultimate competitor, the ultimate teammate. He wants to win all the time. And it just shows, like what you just said, man, to stay with the Miami Heat for 20 years, to go out at 42 years old and be with one team and win championships with them, which is, you know, helped them win championships. It's notable, man. It's honorable because you just don't see it no more. You don't see teams, you know, a guy gets with the team and lives and dies with that team. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's pretty cool. But the NBA is a toss up to me, man. I haven't been really excited to see a lot of things in the NBA. I'm going to watch the playoffs, of course, and that's when I'm really going to keep a close eye on everything. That's when we're going to ramp up and we're going to make predictions and do that stuff, man. But I really haven't been too excited for the NBA. I'm hoping that the playoffs get me excited for it, because the main players that I like to watch or see, you know, they're either out of it or something going on with them, or they just don't look like they have that next gear. So we're going to see how it goes, because I don't like watching NBA season just based off the fact that it's all about load management now. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it's hard to determine who you're going to watch or who you're going to play and be like, okay, this is going to be a great game, and then come to find out two of the top stars aren't playing. So
I want to go to Magic games and watch the Magic play, but it's like you said, I maybe want to go see Cole Anthony play, but I'm going to drop my little $42 on the ticket and,
yeah,
you know, I'm in the nosebleeds and he don't even play. It's like, damn, like, really?
Yeah, man. You know, I don't make enough to be going to these games consistently enough, right, to, you know what I'm saying? So I completely agree with you, bro. I really do. That's all the time we got, man. I mean, it was a short one for sports, man. I'm interested to see how the rest of the week goes. We'll be back on here and on Wednesday. So if you guys like what you hear, man, give us a shout out. You know, hit us up on email, ontheclock20@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, On The Clock Radio. Join us on the debates on Facebook. Our Facebook has been really, really good with people, you know, with great topics. It's OTC for sure, but it's On The Clock Radio for Facebook as well, man. And if you guys want to come on here, man, send us an email, send us something, and we'll put you on here, man, and have a good time with it, man. So, Tyrone, sir, be safe. Don't do anything crazy. Keep your head down low in these streets, and hopefully Reggie will be with us on the next one, man, because I really want to get his opinion about his Bucks. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know.
There's a lot going on over here. They really pumping out that Baker Mayfield over here. They got signs and posters and everything, man.
I need me a jersey ASAP.
All right, man. I'm going to holler at you, my guy.
All right, you can't see me.
You can't see me.
You've been listening to On The Clock Radio. We hope you enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show. And we'll be back soon. But make sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at On The Clock Radio. Y'all be cool. See you next time.